paid program does not necessarily reflect the views of News Radio 830 KHVH, its staff, or management.
Now it's time for the Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. This is your weekly informative hour all about eyes. Learn about cataracts, ask a question about glaucoma, find out how diabetes affects your eyes. Stay tuned for an entertaining and educational program about eyes and eye care. Call in to have your questions answered by the doctor. Now, your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Good morning, everyone. It's time once again for our regular weekly program about eyes and eye care. It's called the Hawaiian Eye Show, and it's sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. We're going to be here for the next hour talking about glasses and bifocals, about laser beams or eye surgery. We can talk about your cataracts or your contacts, itchy eyes, droopy lids, or whatever it is that interests you. If you'd like to join in today, give us a call. Our number here, 521-8383. We'd love to hear about your experiences and answer your questions. If you can't call in today or maybe you're feeling shy, you can always email your questions to us. Our email address is eyes@hawaiianeye.com. We can answer those questions over the air. Look us up on the web while you're online at www.hawaiianeye.com. You can also follow me on Twitter. Go to twitter.com and look for Dr. Tortora, D-R-T-O-R-T-O-R-A, no spaces. And look for us on Facebook, facebook.com/Hawaiian Eye Center. During the next hour, we'll discuss eye news from around the country and around the world. Sometimes we'll do an eye quiz to test your IQ, and we'll have a lot of fun today. Remember, all opinions expressed on this program are those of myself and the other medical doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center. I'm an ophthalmologist, or IMD, which means I'm a medical doctor specializing in the eyes. Now we're going to try to be very consumer-oriented today, make an effort to give you the best possible practical advice, but remember, since I can't see through the telephone, I may have to recommend an examination before I can tell you exactly what's going on in your eyes. So sit back, relax, and enjoy an hour all about eyes. Well, we do have the Olympic Games going on still this weekend and for the next week or so, and the American athletes have been doing a remarkable job, and we're all very proud of them. But I thought that I might take the opportunity to spend a little bit more time talking about eye protection for sports-related injuries. We spent a few minutes talking about this on the last week's program because, again, the Olympics had just begun last weekend. And it is very, very important as we engage in sports activities and as we send our keiki, or our children, to go ahead and become involved in sports-related activities to make sure that we're protecting our eyes. Our eyes are, of course, very valuable to us, and they also are prone to injuries because of their relatively exposed position up at the top of our head there. Now, the eyes are protected by a number of natural mechanisms. The eyes are embedded in a bony socket called the orbit. The orbit is basically the bony protection of the eye, so injuries where if you fall flat on your face or if something large comes and hits your face, it's unlikely to go into your eye because that bony protrusion around the eyes helps to protect the eyes. The eyes are sunken into this orbital tissue. Because it's bone, it's nice and hard, but it also, like any bone, it can break, and broken bones in the bones around the eye in the orbit can cause their own unique set of issues or problems. So you want to avoid injuries to the eyes or to the areas around the eyes. So we talked a little bit also last week about how some of the most common sports for eye injuries were sports like basketball, which people don't think of as a kind of a traumatic sport for the eyes. But it turns out that, first of all, very few people who play basketball wear eye protection. If you watch the professional players, only a few of them wear eye protection. And secondly, there's a lot of reaching and grabbing and elbowing and pushing in basketball, which fingers and elbows and so forth can end up by hitting you in the eye. And they can cause anything from minor abrasions on the surface of the eye to more serious injuries that require very serious treatment and sometimes can result in permanent loss of vision. So if your children are spending a lot of time playing basketball, you want to talk to them about wearing eye protection, wearing some kind of sports safety glasses to help reduce the chance that they're going to get an injury related to basketball. Other sports that are commonly associated with eye-related injuries, one of the most common ones, one of the ones that I'm concerned about because my son does this, is paintball. Paintball and airsoft, all of these shooting games, there is the significant potential for serious eye injury, and so wearing the appropriate eye protection becomes very important. Almost all the paintball fields that, or pretty much all the paintball fields that I've been to, have very strict rules about wearing your eye protection, your helmet, and they disqualify you from play if you ever take off your eye protection or your helmet during the actual time that there are paintballs or airsoft pellets flying around in the air. But these pellets, these balls, can cause very serious eye injuries if they were to impact directly on your eye, which is why eye protection is so critical. We've seen people lose their eyes from things like paintball. In football, of course, there is the risk of eye injuries. I know a lot of the kids out there play football, but the protective gear for football tends to reduce the likelihood of eye injuries. The helmet and the cage and the some of the face screens that are used for football players, particularly young football players, help to reduce the likelihood of injury. Other things, of course, boxing has the potential for serious injury to the eyes. If you get hit in the eye with a fist or with a boxing glove, that can fracture the bones around the eyes. Can at least give you a nice shiner, a nice black eye. And a black eye basically just means that there's bleeding into the tissues around the eye. And those tissues are such that bleeding into those tissues creates a circular hemorrhage in the area around the eye, which makes it look like what we see as a black eye. It's bruising around the eye. Things like fencing, obviously that's going to have a risk for eye injuries. People are supposed to wear specific masks for fencing to protect their eyes and their faces. Bicycling is an interesting one. You don't think of bicycling as being at risk for eye injuries, but you're moving fairly fast a lot of times on a bicycle, particularly if you're going downhill, and that bicycling, it has the risk for things to blow in your eyes. So wearing eye protection, wearing safety glasses, or at least sunglasses when you're bicycling is a good idea. All of these sports that are outdoors, and surfing is a big one. The other issue with the eyes is ultraviolet light hitting the eyes. And as that UV light hits your eye, that can cause damage to the eye. And over a number of years with the exposure of ultraviolet light, the risk of conditions like pterygium and cataract and even macular degeneration are significantly increased in people who spend a lot of time outdoors and don't protect their eyes from the sunlight, from the UV light from the sun. Other conditions related to UV light are things like skin cancers on the surface of the on the eyelids, on the areas around the eyes, or on the face itself. So wearing sunscreen and wearing a good pair of sunglasses that blocks the UV light is a good idea whenever you're spending any kind of time outdoors. For surfers, it's a little bit more tricky because they're out on the water. It's very difficult for them to actually wear sunglasses because once they get wet or get knocked off your face, it becomes harder to see the waves and so on. So most surfers don't wear any kind of eye protection. There are some helmets now for surfers that come with a little visor that cover your eyes. Some people do wear the goggles, which also are UV protecting, to help reduce the exposure of sunlight or ultraviolet light to the surface of the eye. We remove a lot of pterygium, so there's a little growth on the surface of the eye, from people who surf because this is ultraviolet light associated. So the other thing to bear in mind is any kind of activity which is done in the middle of the day that has a significant exposure of UV light, but also activities that are done outdoors in areas or on surfaces where there's a lot of reflected light, the UV light exposure can be even worse. So, for example, if you're out surfing, you've got not only the light coming from the sun, which is intense UV exposure, but you've also got light reflecting off of the water in the up into your eyes as well to give additional UV light exposure. And snow sports, of course, we don't have those in Hawaii, but many people from Hawaii do travel to elsewhere to participate in snow sports. My son's cousin, my nephew, is 14 years old. He lives in Alaska, and he just told me on the phone yesterday that he was going to hike up to the top of this mountain to do some snowboarding because he has snowboarded in every month except July in where he lives in Alaska. So he wanted to get his snowboarding in for the month of August, so he wanted to trek up to where there was still some snow on the mountains. So that's a laudable goal, and I hope he manages to get his snowboarding in. But anyway, people who snowboard and ski and do other outdoor activities and winter sports, the snow is a big reflector of ultraviolet light as well, so you want to make sure to protect your eyes from that UV light with glasses or goggles to help reduce the UV light exposure. We're going to take a short break. When we get back, we're going to talk about some eye news from the past couple of weeks, and we'll be ready to take your calls as well.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
Show phone lines are now open. Give us a call at 521-8383 with your questions for the doctor. If you're calling from the neighbor islands, call us toll free at 888-565-8383. Now, back to your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
All right, here we are back again in the next segment of the Hawaiian Eye Show. You're listening to Dr. Christopher Tortora. We're talking about eyes. If you have a question about eyes, go ahead and give us a call. 521-8383 is the number to reach us at here on the radio show. If you enjoy the radio program and you want to continue to listen or you want to listen to other shows or after we're done, you still have a hunger for more eye show, you can check us out online. If you go to our website, HawaiianEye.com, you can click on the radio show link and you can find previously archived radio programs. Usually each week's radio program is posted on the website about a week after the program airs. And it also is possible to subscribe to a podcast where you can listen to our radio shows as they become available, and you can go ahead and have them downloaded directly to your mobile device via the podcasting technology. And that really is fun technology, this podcasting stuff, because it allows you to listen to things during a time when you may not ordinarily be listening to the radio. I know I have several favorite radio programs that I don't get to listen to on a regular basis because of when they're on, and so I subscribe to their podcasts, and as soon as they come up, I can listen to them in the car or whenever I have the opportunity to listen. So check out our podcast, maybe subscribe. HawaiianEye.com is the website, and you click on the radio show link on the top left. You should be able to subscribe to the podcast following the links. So I hope that works well. Give us a call at the office if there's any problem with any of those. We can help you out with some of those things. If you want to reach us now on the Hawaiian Eye Show live Saturday morning, it's 521-8383 is the number here. If you want to reach us from the neighbor islands, we've got a toll-free number. It's 888-565-8383. And that's a toll-free number. And that also works if you're calling us from outside of Hawaii, where you might be listening to us on the iHeartRadio app or iHeartRadio.com. And so I don't know. The next time I travel, I'll have to go and listen to the Hawaiian Eye Show from a distance. I wanted to talk about some something that I was talking to a colleague about last evening. I had dinner with a colleague who's a retina specialist, and we were talking a little bit about the condition known as macular degeneration. Macular degeneration is a condition where the central vision, the macula, which is responsible for the clearest, sharpest central vision, is damaged. And this happens most commonly as you get older. So it's referred to as age-related macular degeneration. And with this age-related macular degeneration, the central vision starts to fail as the macular degeneration affects the part of the retina that's involved in the sharpest central vision. This makes it hard to see things straight ahead. So anything that requires fine detailed vision, like reading or even recognizing someone's face or seeing the hands on a clock, anything that requires fine central vision is not going to work terribly well in the more advanced stages of macular degeneration. So what can someone who has this condition do? If you have macular degeneration, what can be done about it? Well, we can treat the underlying condition, which is a degeneration of the tissue inside the eye. And depending on what's causing it, there are some treatments that can be effective in reducing the progression or arresting the progression or even restoring some vision that has been lost from macular degeneration. In the wet form, which involves abnormal blood vessels in the back of the eye, there are injections that can be done into the eye to reduce the formation of these abnormal blood vessels and often help to improve the anatomy that is being damaged in the back of the eye and sometimes even improve the vision a little bit, more commonly stabilize the vision to try to keep it from getting worse. These are important to catch early, so early symptoms of macular degeneration are good to know. If you're over age 60 and you suddenly notice that the things that used to look straight have a kind of a wavy or irregular appearance to them, so instead of straight lines, they look a little bit wavy, that might be an early sign of macular degeneration. So you want to get checked out right away by your eye specialist if you notice something like that. Any kind of distortion of the vision, more difficulty reading and so forth, probably something that should be checked out. These macular degeneration issues are more common in people as they get older, so the older you are, the more likely it is that you may be developing one of these issues. If we treat the underlying condition and people are still left with vision loss, which unfortunately is often the case, often even despite our best efforts at treatment, people end up with permanent vision loss, then there are several options for trying to enhance the remaining vision that they have. So we were talking a little bit about the science or the field of low vision. Low vision technology or low vision care involves taking people who have limited vision for whatever reason and helping them to make better use of the vision that they have. Sometimes it's just a matter of some instruction about ways to do things that you used to do with less vision. Sometimes it's a matter of specific technological aids that can be helpful. Magnifying lenses, for example, that have lights and magnifiers that allow you to enlarge the print on a page. And it may help some people read who are having difficulty reading otherwise. And other types of devices, computer-assisted devices and other things which improve reading. Apps on your smartphone, which may help you to read or to see things that are too small by enlarging it, by taking a picture of the image and enlarging it. So there are a number of different options for people who need to see things a little bit bigger. They need to enlarge things in order to be able to see them and have a comfortable vision. There's also technology that is applicable once in a while. It's not a commonly used technology, but it's become approved fairly recently by the Food and Drug Administration. So something we should probably talk about, and that is an implantable telescope, a telescope which is placed in the eye at the time of cataract removal. So when we remove a cataract, when we treat a cataract, the cloudy lens in the eye is removed, and a lens implant is placed in the eye to focus light inside the eye. These implants take a number of forms. Most of them are designed to focus people for distance vision, and then people wear reading glasses afterwards to see better up close. Some implants are designed to give you a better range of vision, to see better distance and near. These are what we call premium implants that come with an additional cost that is not covered by insurance, that helps people to get a greater range of vision, to reduce their dependence on eyeglasses, correcting astigmatism or correcting distance and near vision. But the other type of implant that's currently available and only has recently been available is called an implantable telescope, because it's actually an implant that enlarges the image much as a telescope might if you're looking through a telescope. It's made up of actually two optical surfaces, two lenses that are fit together in a way that allows the image to be magnified and focused onto the retina in the back of the eye. And when that image is focused onto the retina, if there's a part of the retina that's still healthy and a part of the retina that's diseased, if it can focus the image onto the healthy retina and make it a larger image, sometimes that can restore some types of vision that people previously weren't able to see or to appreciate. Now, there are some issues with these telescopes. They are a little bit tricky to implant because they're so large. They're much bigger and bulkier than a standard lens implant. There is a little more risk that they may shift out of position in the future because they are larger and heavier than the standard implant, and that may eventually cause changes in the eye that would allow it to shift out of position. So special testing and surgical procedures are required to get these things implanted in people's eyes. But when they are, they often do give people who are good candidates for this a little bit better quality of vision, looking at things that they that are sort of a little bit smaller, like things like being able to read or see faces, things when you're looking straight at something and you need a little bit more definition in the image. Sometimes these implantable telescopes can be helpful. And so they're being used in a relatively limited number of patients because you need to pass a number of criteria and not everyone is really a candidate. But it's there and it's available for people who might benefit from it. And so it's something that's worth mentioning. So implantable telescopes, interesting new technology approved now by the Food and Drug Administration, primarily useful in people who have severe loss of central vision in both eyes. Now, the reason both eyes is critical is because if you put one of these telescopes in one eye, you get a very different type of image in that eye. And if you have a good other eye, then the two images kind of fight with each other. So you don't end up with good, clear vision out of either eye because you've got the two eyes kind of using different visual systems, and that doesn't tend to mesh well together. So you end up with difficulty using both eyes together and focusing together. So macular degeneration is the most common situation in which you'd use this, but there may be other situations, macular scars, macular holes that can't be repaired, other types of things that might damage the vision enough if someone didn't have good vision in the other eye that would allow the use of this type of implantable telescope. So something to be aware of. In general, macular degeneration is a fairly common problem in people as they get older, and it can range in its effects on the vision from fairly mild, where it just causes some mild distortion of central vision, to severe, where it results in loss of central vision altogether, where people have difficulty with their overall vision and are not able to see some of the detail type of vision that most people require for their daily activities. And so if you do notice distortion or blurring or change in your vision, particularly as you're getting older, it's something that you do want to check out, because there are a number of things that can cause it and cause a distorted vision like that. But if it's something that requires treatment and can be better treated early rather than later, you definitely want to know about it early. You know, this is a common thing that we experience in eye care, and I'm sure general doctors experience this as well. People develop some type of symptom, and many people, their tendency is a little bit of denial. They say, well, you know, this probably isn't a serious problem. I'll just kind of wait a few days. And they wait a few days and it doesn't get better. And they say, well, I'll wait a few more days. Next thing they know, you know, a month or two has gone by and they're still having the same problem. And they come in and the doctor says, gee, you know, I wish you'd come in 2 months ago when this started, because then we would have been able to do more about it. And people kick themselves and say, gee, you know, I wish I had come in, but I just kept waiting to see if it would go away, if it would get better. So general rule of thumb, if you're developing a problem that's sudden in onset, suddenly something is changing, then that usually means something's going on in your body. In the case of the eyes, usually something going on in your eye or in your brain, and that needs to be checked out promptly so that we can figure out if it's something that requires immediate attention or not. And I had an unfortunate experience with a patient that I saw in the emergency room who only had one good eye and who developed a serious problem in that eye and kind of put off really any attention to it until it was too late to do a whole lot of good for it. So that's a young person who now is not going to be able to see out of either eye really terribly well. So this is an unfortunate problem, but just a reminder that it's worth getting checked out. We have modern medicine. We have things that we can do for a lot of different conditions, whether it's eye conditions or other things. And so it's worth making sure that your body's okay when it's giving you signals that says maybe it's not okay. Let's take a short break, and when we get back, we'll do some news stories, including some stories about generic drugs and how much they've saved in money over the past year, and how hip fracture risks may be lower after patients have cataract surgery. We'll be right back.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Their experienced surgeons have extensive cataract and general eye care experience. And they proudly welcome their newest eye surgeon, Dr. Stephen Ree. Dr. Ree brings a wealth of experience to the Hawaiian Eye Center team. To schedule an appointment with a member of the eye care team, call Hawaiian Eye Center today at 733-2020 or visit the website at hawaiianeye.com.
The news authority in Honolulu is News Radio 830 KHVH.
It's 75 degrees, partly cloudy in Honolulu. I'm Julia Norton-Dennis. Here's what's happening. Iranian state TV is blaming terrorists or Syrian rebels for the kidnapping of 48 Iranian pilgrims from a Damascus suburb today. The bus filled with Iranians was headed to visit a Shiite shrine. Iran is a close ally to the Syrian regime. No one has claimed responsibility for an attack on two ships off the coast of Nigeria's oil-rich southern delta early today. Two of the country's Navy sailors were killed. Four foreign oil workers were kidnapped. The attack happened in a region that had seen relative calm over the past few years. Firefighters are on the scene of a building fire in Salt Lake. The fire is reported at 7:01 a.m. in the Salt Lake Apartments on Ala'ilima Street. When the first units arrived, they reported smoke scene. Reinforcements were called, but they were returned when it was apparent the first companies could handle the situation. Police are handling traffic in the area. Police have opened an attempted murder case after a 15-year-old boy was taken to a trauma center in serious condition with stab wounds. It happened shortly after 4 a.m. on Helelua Street in Kapolei. A 34-year-old woman also suffered minor injuries. Police have a suspect in custody and recovered a knife at the scene. A 34-year-old man who was struck by a van while crossing Kamehameha Highway in Pearl City Thursday night has died from his injuries. The man was taken in critical condition to the hospital shortly after the 7:30 p.m. crash. He died last night. The 36-year-old driver of the van that struck him was not injured. Police don't know if speed, alcohol, or drugs were factors. Sunny, breezy, high in the upper 80s. Tonight, mostly clear, low near 74, and tomorrow, sunny. Currently in Honolulu, 75.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers you complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Advanced technology lenses are designed to provide good vision for distance, near and in between, with less dependence on eyeglasses. When cataracts blur vision, a short, painless procedure helps. If you have a cataract and want back youthful vision, call Hawaiian Eye Center at 733-2020 or visit hawaiianeye.com.
The phone lines are now open at 521-8383. On the neighbor islands, it's a free call, 1-888-565-8383. And now, here's Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Okay, it's Dr. Christopher Tortora. You're listening to the Hawaiian Eye Show. We're talking about eyes. We're going to go to the phones now and talk. Sorry about that. We had a caller, and we lost him a couple of times, so Not quite sure what's going on with that. Maybe poor cell phone reception. I don't know. Anyway, if you want to call back, we can certainly try to get your call on the air here. I have a news story here about generic drugs and the fact that they saved quite a bit of money last year. It says $193 billion were saved last year because of generic drugs. It says here, generic drugs save consumers, state and federal governments, and healthcare systems more than $1 billion every other day in 2001, according to a report issued Thursday by the generic drug industry. The General Pharmaceutical Association is spotlighting the savings in an effort to encourage policymakers to protect and spur use of their products through an upcoming critical budgetary debate. As governor leaders in Washington and across the country look for ways to cut healthcare costs, this new analysis details the remarkable savings achieved through the use of generic medications, according to the fourth annual Generic Drugs Savings Analysis. So this report, which was conducted by IMS Health and funded by General Pharmaceutical Association, specifically found generic medications saved almost $193 billion in 2011, averaging $1 billion every other day. Billion, that's with a B. Savings in 2011 increased 22% over the prior year, making it the largest year-over-year increase in generic drug sales since 1998. Generic drugs saved the U.S. healthcare industry system, U.S. healthcare system, roughly $1.07 trillion from 2002 to 2011. A total of 80% of the 4 billion prescriptions written last year were for generics. It says savings could continue to skyrocket since certain blockbuster products such as cholesterol drugs Atorvastatin or Lipitor and antipsychotic olanzapine or Zyprexa only became generic in late 2011, and other high-profile drugs such as the blood thinner clopidogrel or Plavix, continue to have generic versions. While merely an update on its previous studies on generic savings, fresh numbers are the industry's attempt to place renewed importance on generic drugs and their possible role in crafting federal savings through health policy. The generic drug industry is eyeing this fall's congressional debate on ways to create $1.2 trillion in savings over 10 years or face across-the-board cuts in federal spending starting January 1. So this is interesting that the role of generic drugs is becoming so much increased, but there are some potential issues with that. So let's read on in this article here. It says the report also highlights the effectiveness of the Hatch-Waxman Act, the 1984 legislation largely credited with creating the modern-day generic drug industry. The act creates incentives for companies to file generic drug applications with the FDA sooner by giving 180-day marketing exclusivity to the first company that files. Brand drug supporters say the incentives provided in the Hatch-Waxman Act have worked too well and have harmed the innovation of new drugs by stifling company profits and, in turn, new drug development. Now, this is an interesting point. The article just touches on this by saying that the drug manufacturers who are making new drugs are not making new drugs as much because these new drugs are going to generic, and the generic drugs are not paying as much money, and so the drug companies are not getting as much money to research and develop new drugs. And so the idea is, the criticism is that if you have too many generic drugs, then there'll be not enough money in the pharmaceutical industry for new drug development, and all of these great new drugs that could be developed and could come out and save people's lives and improve their lifestyles and so forth are never going to be created because there's no financial incentive for the drug companies to do this. And it's an interesting argument, and it's hard to know how true it is because the drug companies have made a lot of money for a lot of years, and so is the question, is it really going to stifle innovation and the amount of money that they put into research and development? I don't know. All right, let's see. Changing the five-year exclusivity period for traditional small molecule drugs or the 12-year exclusivity for biologics is unlikely. A government accountability office study published this spring found that genetic drug savings are a mixed bag after reviewing numerous government, industry, and academic studies. Another key point of Thursday's study, the organization draws attention to the high cost of biologics, such as rheumatoid arthritis treatments, Enbrel and Humira, and breast cancer drug Herceptin, which are being used increasingly more often. In 2009, Medicare spent more money on one biologic, anemia treatment, Epoetin, or Epogen, than the federal government spent on funding for the entire Food and Drug Administration. Interesting. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. But it does look like the use or the mandated use of generic drugs has actually made a significant difference. And I know we as physicians are starting to feel a lot more pressure from drug manufacturers, because they want to sell their manufactured drugs, but from the Food and Drug Administration and from the insurers that pay for drugs and medications to switch to generic drugs, because I think a lot of insurers, including Medicare and including HMSA here locally in Hawaii and other insurance companies, have realized that if they keep paying the amount of money for name brand drugs that they've been paying for the past number of years, that it's going to eventually continue to drive up costs significantly. And one area that there's a potential savings is in these costs of drugs and designer drugs. And so to get physicians to prescribe more of the generic products, there have had to be a number of rules that have been put in place that actually feel to us as physicians like we're being told what to do and not to practice good medicine, but to practice cost-effective medicine. And you know, this has its plus and minus points. It's actually, you know, an interesting point of debate, because our government and our people and our industry, our economy certainly can't afford to pay as much money in healthcare costs as it has been and have it go up as quickly as it has been. And so if utilization of generic drugs is one way to improve that, then that's all to the good. On the other hand, if people are being harmed by the use of generic drugs because the drugs are not as effective or not as good, or being switched from one drug to another ends up having a negative health issue, is that a good thing? Well, certainly not, but you have to, I guess, at some point someone's got to make that decision. Who is in charge of the greater good? And is it the greater good to have more people be able to be treated for less cost, or to have everyone have the absolute best treatment possible but be able to afford to treat fewer people? So I think either way, there's some people who lose and some people who win, but I think you need to kind of at some point say what's going to be the greatest good for the greatest number and go from there. So we'll see what happens as far as generic drugs go. I've got a story here about hip fracture risk and how it might be reduced following cataract surgery. It says here, a large U.S. study of older people with a diagnosis of cataract finds that the risk of hip fracture is lower following cataract surgery, suggesting the vision-improving surgery may reduce the odds of injury-related falls. And, of course, this makes sense to those of us who take care of eye patients all the time. We realize that if one eye or both eyes is not working as well, or are not working as well, you end up not being able to judge depth perception quite as well, and you're walking along in the street, there's a little uneven area on the sidewalk or a little step up, or you're trying to go upstairs or walk up the curb and it's a little bit higher or lower than you expect, and you take a step that is unanticipated and you end up tripping and you fall. That's how people break their hips. They're older, their bones are fragile, and they take a fall, they take a tumble, and next thing they know, they're lying in a hospital bed needing repair of their hip fracture. So it makes sense that having better vision, in this case by removing a cataract, is likely to reduce the risk of hip fractures. So let's see what the study shows. It says the study, which appears in the August 1 issue of JAMA, the Journal of the American Medical Association, reports how researchers examined data on over a million Medicare patients aged 65 and older with a diagnosis of cataract, and found that those who underwent cataract surgery had a lower odds ratio of hip fracture 1 year after the procedure compared with those who did not have the surgery. The reduction was greatest among those with severe cataract. Makes sense. Previous studies have found a strong link between visual impairment and higher risk of fractures, a significant cause of illness and death in the elderly. The study authors note that fall-related injuries cost the United States over $10 billion, with a B, in the year 2000. In their background information, first author Victoria Tseng of Brown University, Providence, Rhode Island, and colleagues write, specifically, vision plays an important role in providing a reference frame for postural balance and stability, and cataract-induced changes in vision have been found to be associated with postural instability. Okay, so if you see your older relative, grandparent, parent walking around unsteadily, check into whether their vision is okay, because maybe it's just a limitation in vision that's making them more unsteady on their feet. However, despite this, they suggest not enough research has been done to see if cataract surgery reduces these injuries. Cataract is a condition where the lens of the eye becomes cloudy, resulting in blurred vision. Most cases occur in older adults, and by age 75, most people have cataracts. However, cataract surgery, usually a straightforward outpatient procedure done under local anesthetic, corrects the condition by replacing the faulty lens under it with a clear synthetic one. In the U.S., the success rate is over 95%. In their study, Seng and colleagues examined the records of a 5% random sample of Medicare beneficiaries, so a total of a little over a million patients, with a diagnosis of cataract between 2002 and 2009. 60% of the participants were women, 88% were white, and a third were aged between age 65 and 69. Out of those, 37% of them had cataract surgery over the study period, during which 1.3% of them experienced hip fractures. When they analyzed the data and adjusted for various potential influencing factors, the researchers found that 1 year after the eye procedure, the risk of hip fracture was 16% lower among patients who had cataract surgery compared to those who did not. Among patients diagnosed with severe cataract, the odds of hip fracture 1 year after cataract surgery was reduced even further by 23% compared with the cataract diagnosis group by the authors. The most common coexisting fracture-related illness was osteoporosis, which was diagnosed in 12% of patients. The most common coexisting eye illness was glaucoma in 19% of patients. So the next step is to do what's called a prospective study, they say, which is basically to look at a whole group of people and follow them forward in time, say how they look now, find out how many of them develop cataracts, how many of them have the cataracts removed, how many of those end up having hip fractures and how many don't, and determine based on that how much cataract surgery reduces the risk of hip fracture. Okay? That's an interesting study, and I think it's very good to do this type of study because it shows the benefits of these types of eye procedures to improve the vision. Even though we all know that having better vision is a good thing, this actually kind of proves it and helps us to figure out in dollar terms how much this type of procedure is worth, because at some point Medicare or some other system is going to come along and say, well, we want to only do procedures that have some value, and so we have to figure out a way to calculate the value. So studies like this are useful for that type of thing. Let's take a short break. When we get back, we'll do some more eye news, and feel free to give us a call. We'll take your calls.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
With the latest technology, cataract care is often a fast, painless procedure with a rapid return to normal vision and normal activities.
It doesn't hurt. It just takes, 15, 20 minutes the most, and you're out. That's it.
We strive to make your procedure safe and painless. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
The phone lines are open at 521-8383. And from the neighbor islands, 1-888-565-8383. Now, back to Dr. Christopher Tortora, our host of the Hawaiian Eye Show.
Can you see me now? Hawaiian Eyes. Can you see me lost from paradise?
Well, you are listening to the Hawaiian Eye Show. I'm Dr. Christopher Tortora. Thanks so much for listening, and we hope we're keeping you interested with talk about eyes and eye care, medical issues going on throughout the country and around the world. And if you have something you'd like us to talk about or something that you have a question about, now's a perfect time to call us. We have open phone lines. 521-8383 is the number to call. If you're listening to us Saturday morning, you're listening to us live, and you do have the opportunity to call. So 521-8383. Or if you're calling from the neighbor islands, there's a toll-free number, 888-565-8383. We only have a few minutes left here of the program. So if you do have a question and you want to get it answered over the air here, this is the perfect time to give us a call. In the meantime, let's talk about some other eye-related issues. I have an article here about the number of people who are blind or visually impaired in Germany. And it says here, the numbers of people in Germany who are blind or visually impaired is going down. Robert P. Finger and his co-authors present their findings in the current edition of Deutsches Arztblatt International. And the aging of the population would lead one to expect an increase in the numbers of blind and visually impaired. For in most cases, the main reason for loss in vision is age-related disease. Rates of macular degeneration, for example, and diabetes-related eye disease both go up with age. At the same time, however, the numbers of cases in which glaucoma or optic atrophy results in blindness are going down. Retinal detachment, too, is occurring less frequently. Using data from the archive of the Blind Registry of the Rhineland Regional Council, the researchers were able to calculate the prevalence of blindness, standardized for sex and age, from 1978 to 2006, and matched this with severe disability statistics on blindness and visual impairment. The results allowed them to formulate prevalence trends for the past 30 years. The total number of registered blind in the Rhineland increased from 10,650 in 1978 to 15,760 in 1997, and then remained stable until 2006, where it was 15,700. The prevalence of blind in the region of study also rose from 1978 to 1997, and then remained stable until 2006, as reflected in the data set for blindness and visual impairment. After standardization for Germany, the prevalence can be seen to have been falling slightly ever since 1997. So that's interesting that in a Western country, there's been a reduced incidence of blindness, and the hope is that that's due to the interventions that we as eye doctors and eye surgeons have been able to provide in treating people who have potentially vision-threatening diseases and preventing them from losing their visions and going on to the roles of the blind. So hopefully that's we're having a beneficial effect, and this study out of Germany suggests that there is a positive effect over time in the treatment or prevention of blindness or treatment of eye conditions. So let's see, what else do we have here article-wise? We have an article here about fear of falling. Fear of falling, it says here, is linked to glaucoma severity. This prospective study used a previously validated questionnaire to test the hypothesis that visual field loss from glaucoma is associated with a greater fear of falling. Subjects were a sample of glaucoma patients with bilateral visual field loss and glaucoma suspects with good vision. They found that glaucoma has a significant impact on fear of falling, even at levels where individuals would not be classified as blind or visually impaired. Fear increased with modest steps of disease severity, with each 5 decibel decrement in the better eye visual field associated with an increased fear of falling. Interesting. So if you have glaucoma, make sure it gets treated so that you don't have to have as much of a fear of falling. I'm going to go to the phones. I've got Pat standing by in Kauai. Hi, Pat. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I was listening to your program about 15 minutes ago, and when you were talking about macular degeneration. And I have a situation with one eye that the ophthalmologist, I went to 2 different ones. I have a macular pucker. So I have a few questions regarding that.
Sure. That's a little different than macular degeneration, but go ahead.
Oh, okay. That was one of my questions. my main question is, how fixable is it? The one ophthalmologist I visited said there was a couple of surgeons in Hawaii that tackled that particular problem, macular pucker.
Right.
But I didn't get a chance to really discuss it at length with him. Do you know the success, degree of success with surgery like that?
Yeah, I can give you some very basic insights, but without actually, you know, full evaluation of your eye, it's hard to know what your particular situation is. So basically, a macular pucker is a situation where there's some tugging or pulling on the macula, the part of the eye responsible for central vision, by the vitreous, which is a gel that fills the inside of the eye. So the way that's treated is by relieving those adhesions or those stresses surgically. This is generally done by a retinal surgeon. There's a number of things involved in the procedure, and depends what procedure, what approach they take. But for most surgeons, they remove the adhesions, they remove the vitreous gel from the inside of the eye, and then sometimes they require either an air bubble or something else in the eye that needs to hold the retina flat to kind of iron it out, because puckering or wrinkling of the retina is what's causing the distortion of your vision. Generally, it's recommended if your vision is bad enough to be giving you difficulty with your vision, generally 20, 40, 20, 50 or worse. If it's much better than that, the success rate may not warrant doing it. My impression is they're successful a significant percentage of the time, but since I don't do this type of surgery, I don't know the exact numbers, but my guess is that it would probably be up around 80% or higher. So what you'd need to do is find a retina specialist and go ahead and have an evaluation with them and have them look at that. Now, I don't know that there are any retina specialists on Kauai, but your eye specialist could certainly, you know, hook you up with someone who either comes in periodically, I'm not sure if anyone does or not on that island, or who you could visit on Oahu if you came to Oahu. There are a number of retina specialists here, and all of them, as far as I know, are experienced with this type of procedure.
Okay.
So as opposed to macular degeneration, which is really not, you know, no great treatments, this is something that does have a reasonably good surgical treatment, but you just need to inform yourself about the options and the likelihood of success in your particular situation by seeing a specialist.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay. Well, that's good advice. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for the
Thanks.
Call. We're going to go back to the phones and talk to Susan, who's standing by in Kailua. Susan, we have about a minute. Are you there, Susan?
Oh, yes, I am.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes, I have a question. I was told I had ocular rosacea several years ago, and the dermatologist that I saw said to use an antibiotic. So I've been taking an antibiotic prophylactically for it. But then I recently had an exam because I was having more issues, with the same kind of issues that the ocular rosacea was causing, loss of eyelashes, crusting, and he said basically I just have dry eyes, super dry eyes, and he couldn't express any oils from my Bowman glands when he examined me.
Yes.
So I was wondering if I have blepharitis as opposed to ocular rosacea, and are the treatments differently, because I'd like to stop taking the antibiotic.
Okay, well, it's a good question. I don't have a lot of time to answer it because I got to wind down here, but you basically the treatments are similar. The condition, the underlying condition is similar. The particular diagnosis is not essential as long as, you know, the treatment is similar. The antibiotics are sometimes helpful, but if they're not helping, then other treatments may be suggested. So just follow up with your eye specialist, see an anterior segment or a cornea specialist if you need to, and they should be able to give you the information. Sorry, I can't get you more time, but I gotta run. We've been here now talking about eyes for an hour, where you're listening to the Hawaiian Eye Show, and I'm Dr. Christopher Tortora. Listen again next week. We'll see you then. Aloha.
You've been listening to the Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, with Harvard-trained eye surgeon Dr. Christopher Tortora. If you have an eye problem, want to get a second opinion, or aren't seeing as well as you used to, make an appointment with Dr. Tortora or one of the doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center in Central Oahu or Hilo by calling C-2020. That's 733-2020. Until next week, here's looking at you.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
Limbaugh.
America's real anchorman, the truth detector to Dr. Democracy.
Every weekday morning at 10, KHBH, Honolulu.
Hawaii's home for Fox News.